Holy is your name. love, more power, more of you in my little blurb, nothing big. Burning me, burning me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me, burn in me, Lord, burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Let's do that again. Burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Your words like a fire burning in my soul, burn out the dross, bring forth the gold. Burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me, burn in me, Lord, burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. You feel like the fire shut up in my bones, consume me, Lord, make me your own. Burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me, burn in me, Lord, burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Burn in me, burn in me, let the fire of the Holy One burn in me. Ooh, I got tingles. Did you get tingles? Thank you, Lord, huh? For tingles. Holy Ghost tingles. Lifting holy hands to you, I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On wounded knee I come, with a humble heart I come, bowing down before your holy throne. Make my spirit anew. I worship you in spirit. I worship you in truth. Make my life a holy praise unto you. On wounded knee we come, with humble hearts we come, bowing down before your holy throne, lifting holy hands to you. Make our spirit anew. Worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make your church a holy praise unto you. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in spirit. We worship you in truth. Make your church a holy praise unto you. Bless the Lord.
Good morning, everybody. Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we just look to you for all our needs, Lord. Lord, I want to lift up Jerry to you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you just touch his body and bring healing to him, Lord. Restore his health, Lord. Restore his vigor. Lord, he does a lot around here. A lot of people do a lot around here, Lord, and I'm thankful for every one of them, Lord, but Lord, just touch Jerry, Lord. Touch his body. Bring healing, Lord, please. Lord, I pray that you'd be here with us today, Lord. I pray that you'd reveal your word to us and help us to receive what you have for us. Help us to understand it and help us, Lord, to apply the things you have for us to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The heart of Christianity. Our opening scripture was in Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians. What is a Christian? Originally, when they were called Christians, it wasn't exactly a compliment. It was an insult. But when you look at the meaning of the word, you can understand why they took that name and they applied it to themselves, to who they were. Because the name literally means Christ ones. Ones that are of Christ. Ones that are a follower of Christ. They belong to Christ. A lot of people think they're Christian because they say they're Christian. People go to church and they think that because they go to church, they're Christians. Can you be saved and be a Christian and not be a Christian? It depends on how you look at the word Christian, the name Christian. You can be saved and be headed for heaven, but yet, are you a Christian? A pastor in Oregon used to say that if Christianity were illegal, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Probably just a matter of semantics, and it just depends on how you look at it. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 16. And to set it up what I'm going to be talking about, I'm going to go to verse 13 and start there. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" That's a question we all have to ask ourselves. Who is Jesus to us? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." That comes from God. When we have that realization, it comes from God. Starting in verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." I like Peter. Peter had a tendency to put his foot in his mouth. He can show one spark of brilliance one moment, and then the next minute, he's being rebuked. How can you say Lord and no in the same sentence? Peter did it twice. He did it in Acts 2. "Arise, Peter, kill and eat. Kill and eat." "No, Lord." "If he's your Lord, why are we saying no to him?" Jesus turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men." He was more concerned with the world. He was more concerned with his own feelings than he was with God's purpose and what God wanted to do. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. There's three things we're going to talk about today. There's three points I'm going to try to make. Point number one is we must find our heart. And what is that? What is our heart as Christians? What is the heart of Christianity? Jesus said, if any man come unto me, Jesus is the heart of Christianity. The things of Jesus. Jesus and Jesus alone is to be the heart of all we do and all we are as believers. Two questions I'm going to ask. Why are you here today? Expectations? Maybe we come because we're expected to? Especially Linda and I. Or maybe we come with expectations, seeking the things that the Lord has for us. And that's a good thing. How about habit? It's what we've always done. You know, they say if you do something so many days in a row, it becomes a habit. I don't know what it is. I think it's 20 days or something like that. We get in the habit. We get up in the morning. We get ready. We get in our cars. And we come to church. And that's okay, too, to a certain extent, isn't it? There's a lot worse habits. I know. Some people come to socialize, to see and be seen. We have our meet and greet time, and it's a wonderful time, and we enjoy seeing each other, especially when we see our friends from up north that come down this time of year. Maybe we come because we have love for the church. And we're supposed to love our church because it's the place that God provided for us. It's God that keeps the doors open. Maybe we come because of duty. You know, we have to be about God's business, but we also have to be about God. And that's more important. In Luke chapter 7, I believe it's chapter 7, Martha and Mary, two sisters, were entertaining Jesus in their home. Martha was in the kitchen fixing dinner. Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say, worshiping him. Martha came out and complained, and Jesus said, no, she's doing the right thing. She's putting me first. Why are we here today? Are we here because of the love for the Lord and a desire to worship Him? Yeah. Like I said, those other things, they may be good to a certain extent, but a lot of times the worst enemy of best is good. Sometimes we settle for a lot less than we should when it comes to the Lord. A lot of other things too. If we're not here because of a love for the Lord and a desire to worship Him, where's our heart? Second question is, why does this church, and any other church for that matter, exist? There's really only three valid reasons. Number one is to exalt our God, to praise and worship our God, in spirit and in truth, like the song said. To edify the saints, to comfort the saints, to exhort and encourage the saints, each other. And to evangelize sinners, to preach the gospel. Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Does that mean we should all go to Africa? If we all go to Africa, who's going to be here when people walk through the door? You know, whatever God calls you to do is what you should be doing. All three of these can be seen in action in the life of the early church, and that's in Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. I'm not going to turn there. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, you've read it probably, and those are all points, all things that they were doing. When Jesus says, come after me, there's two meanings. There's two ways that they can be taken depending on the condition of the heart that hears it. Come after me. To the lost, it says, be saved. Jesus can give you a new heart. In Ezekiel 36:26, it says he can take out the stony heart, the hard heart, and he can replace it with a heart of flesh, a tender heart, a kind heart, a heart full of love. When he says, come after me, to the saved, it's most of us probably, it says, be sold out. Jesus can refocus your heart. It's possible to be saved and active and still not have a heart for him, still not have a desire for him. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, Jesus has John write down his words in a letter to the church at Ephesus. Now, he commended that church for a lot of things. That church was doing a lot of good things. But then he says, but. We all know about the word but, right? You hear the word but and you can almost forget about everything that's said before because something different is going to come. He said, I have this one thing against you. You've left your first love. Sometimes we get caught up in the things that we're doing that we forget it's about loving God. It's about loving the Lord for what he did for us and for what he does for us. What is the heartbeat of your life today? Is it Jesus? Point number one was we must find our heart. Point number two is we must focus our heart. On what? Maybe I should say on whom. Because that kind of gives us a hint about what the answer is, doesn't it? Jesus said, come after me. He said, seek me. There's a beautiful picture of this in John chapter 1. John the Baptist was 6 months ahead of Jesus in ministry because they started, in Jewish culture, they started ministry when they turned 30. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. He started first, but he was supposed to because he was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He had disciples. He had followers. One day he points at Jesus as he's walking by and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Two of his disciples fell in behind Jesus as he's walking. Jesus turned around and said, who do you seek? They said, Master, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. If we really love Jesus, if he's really the desires of our heart, then our desire should be where he is. Wherever he is, shouldn't we be there too? Psalms 42, 1 and 2. A lot of people don't know this, and I didn't know it either until I studied it, but David wrote that psalm, even though it says for the sons of Korah. It says for the sons of Korah in the title. It doesn't credit the psalm to David. But most commentators believe it's David, especially when you compare it with other psalms. And there's going to be two psalms I'm going to use, one that's credited to David and this one. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? If we compare that with Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David was focused. His heart was focused on God. Psalm 108:1, David said, O God, my heart is fixed. It doesn't mean repaired. It means focused. Psalm 27:4, David said, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. David is referred to as a man after God's own heart. He was seeking God's heart, but he was also seeking to have his heart be like God's heart. How do we do that? We focus on God. In the New Testament, Paul, in Philippians 3:13 and 14, he said it like this, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What has your heart today? What possesses your heart today? Who owns your heart? Point number three, we must follow our heart. Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him. When I was reading this the other day, I noticed it says, and straightway they forsook their nets. They had just cast them in the sea. Did they say, oh, wait a minute, as soon as we pull our nets out of the sea? It doesn't say, does it? But yet Jesus said in Luke 9:62, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I think they left him there. Let someone else worry about it. We have more important things to deal with, more important things to do. See, what it all boils down to is priorities. Matthew 6:33, Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things be added unto you. Before we come to the Lord, we do what we want to do. We go where we want to go. We follow whoever we want to follow or whatever we want to follow. But after we're supposed to do what the Lord tells us to do. Goes back to that no Lord that we're talking about. No, it should be yes Lord. And everything he says. Matthew 16:24, I'm going to read it again. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We are called to deny ourselves. Matthew 26:34, Jesus talking to Simon Peter said, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. It's the same word. It has the same meaning. Deny ourselves or deny the Lord, as in Peter's case. It means to completely disown, to distance ourselves, to utterly separate ourselves from someone or something, to forsake, to turn away from, to abandon. It's a lot stronger than you'd think, isn't it? But I found that a lot of words in the Bible are stronger in their biblical meaning than they are in the whatever usage, whatever we use them for. Deny ourselves. Romans 6:11 says we are to count the old man as being dead. Carlton, I like your T-shirt. I'm a living martyr, it says. Romans 13:14 says we are to make no provision for the flesh. We're supposed to deny ourselves. To deny ourselves means to follow the Lord's example when he came into this world. We read about that in Philippians 2:5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Now, what did he mean by that? 2,000 years ago, they knew exactly what he was talking about. They knew what the cross was. During Jesus' lifetime, it's estimated that over 30,000 Jews were crucified. They would have what they called a death march. They would start at the place of judgment, and they would have to walk to the place of execution. We read about Jesus doing that, don't we? You know, I've heard of people walking across the United States all the way carrying a cross, and people applaud them. They think that's a great accomplishment, a great achievement. 2,000 years ago, they didn't think that when they saw somebody carrying a cross. It was a place of shame. They were ridiculed. They were spit on. They were, who knows what kind of abuse that they would encounter and they would suffer as they walked along. Because people can be pretty mean, can't they? So what does it mean to take up our cross? Well, maybe we should look at what it doesn't mean. It doesn't just mean putting up with your mother-in-law. Or maybe your car that doesn't start, or maybe a job that you hate and a boss that's always angry at you. It means a lot more than that. It means suffering for the Lord. It means death. Does that mean we go out and kill ourselves? No, that means that we die to the things of us. We live for the things of God. There's also shame involved. Hebrews 12:2 talks about the joy. For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, but he also endured the shame. We have to be willing to go along with whatever the world thinks of us, whatever opinion that they have of us. You know, when Peter denied the Lord, I came to the belief that Peter said that he was willing to go to prison and to death for the Lord, and I believe that. He had a sword. He took out a sword and started fighting back when they came to arrest Jesus. But then a short time later, he's denying. In front of this little servant girl, he's denying the Lord. I think he was more concerned with public opinion. Public opinion can be very important to us. But if we die to ourselves, we're not supposed to worry about what the world thinks of us. Jesus said, if you deny me before the world, I will deny you before the Father. Completely disown, distance ourselves, utterly separate ourselves, forsake, turn away from, abandon. If we deny him, that's the deny that he's going to deny us with for the Father. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. All the way. Not part way. Not halfway. We got to finish, don't we? Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Jesus in John 12:26 said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve him, him will my Father honor. If you want to be saved, you can be. But you got to do it God's way. God's kind of funny that way. He likes things done his way. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We don't just one day decide that we're going to behave ourselves and do good and go to heaven. No, we have to pray. We have to ask the Lord to forgive our sins and to be our Savior. It's that simple. People get so mixed up on what it all involves. It's that simple. Recognizing you're a sinner, recognizing Jesus as your Savior, and asking Him to forgive you and be your Savior. So simple, even a child can do it, right? If you want to be His disciple, you can be. But once again, you've got to do it God's way. You have to come before Him. You have to deny yourself. You have to take up your cross and follow Him. Lord, we thank You for the love You have for us. We thank You, Lord, for the plan that You had before the foundation of the world. The plan, Lord, because You knew before Adam and Eve ever ate that fruit in the garden, You knew they were going to do it. And You had a plan to counter everything they suffered because of that. You had a plan for everything we've ever done in our lives before You formed us, before You knew us. Before You formed us, You knew us. And You had a plan for us. Yes, You know everything we've done. You knew everything we're going to do. And You loved us. And You provided a way where there seemed to be no way. Because that's what You do. Lord, just touch our heart. Just help us to be what You want us to be, Lord. Make the changes You want to make. And help us, Lord, to stand strong for You. And for Your ways, Lord. Lord, I thank You for Your word. I thank You, Lord, for the things You've taught us today. And I thank You, Lord, for Your presence here. And I just pray, Lord, that You'd go with us as we go about our day, Lord. And, Lord, I pray that You'd bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody.